Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Chronicles, please. 2 Chronicles in chapter 34. We're going to continue to study about music and actually just kind of a simple thought. We're going to talk about God's intent for music. You may stand, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. 2 Chronicles 34. I'm just going to read, I want to read this, the majority of this passage, because we're going to establish something. Please understand, the Bible does not say thou shalt not when it comes to music. Okay, there's not like, you know, and that's one of the and pardon my boldness here. That's part of my problem with some of these idiots that talk about music. Well, the Bible doesn't say you can't do this, you can't do that. I'm like, shut up. Okay, I'm just not nice when it comes to that kind of stuff because I'm sick of it. No, it doesn't say. But the principles are there. And if you don't get that our God is a divine being that doesn't change, then you're dumber than you look. And I'm sorry, but it's just, we have a God that does things the way God does things, because that's how God does things. And it's like, yeah, it applies to music. It applies to daily life. It applies to this. It applies to that, because he's God. It overlaps into every area of our life. And we need to realize that if God's going to order the very clothing that the priests wear, he's just going to let music go berserk and do whatever it wants. No, that's silly. Okay? And so, y'all understand I'm a little passionate about this. Okay? Just a tiny bit. All right, let's read. You follow along, I'll read. Look at verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, of course, this is Josiah. He began at 8 years old, okay? So 10 years later, if you read the first several chapters, verses rather, he sets his heart on following God. Good start, right? So in the 18th year of his reign, listen to this, it took him 10 years, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Now, I'm just going to pause there. I love that. I love that. He gets everything in order, and he sends these key men, these principal men in his command. He's 18 years old. Right, Ian? Yeah. 18, King Ian, making some good decisions here, right? 7-minute video, nailed it. All right, okay, here we go. He sends them, but he doesn't send them to repair the house of God. He sends them to repair the house of the Lord, his God. Ooh, love that. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and all the remnant of Israel and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem, and they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Do you see what's going on here? A great work is happening. The people are paying to rebuild the house of the Lord, their God. Okay? And these workmen are doing the work. He says, even to the artificers and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. So God's people had torn up the house of God. They've desolated it. They've ruined it, or they've neglected it. They've let it go by the wayside. It was supposed to be a certain way, all right? And they were putting attention back to it now. Look at verse 12. And the men did the work faithfully. And the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites, Of the sons of Merai, and Zechariah, and Meshulam, of the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward. And now listen to this. And other of the Levites. So it says, and the men did the work faithfully, and there were overseers, and they set things forward. And then it says, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. So the musicians of the house of God were also involved with this rebuilding and reordering of the temple, okay, of the house of the Lord. And so we're going to stop there, and we'll talk about a little bit more of this here in a moment. But I want you to understand, if God includes this in the restoration of his house, then it's important. So God expects us to consider music as just as important as rebuilding the house and resetting things in order and refurbishing things. He expects music to be a part of that. If something is torn down and gone by the wayside, he wants us to put it back in order like it's supposed to be. And guess what? Music in our nation, music among Christianity, music in our churches, some of it has gone by the wayside. It needs to be put back in order. It needs to be cared for as God would have all other things cared for that are under his control. I'm not going to tarry long on this particular thought. It's a very simple thought. A lot of people try to make it more difficult than it is. Music is mathematical. Music is ordered. And when it gets out of order, it's wrong. When it's in order, it's right. So that's the very simplistic basis of the principles of music. Okay? Now last week Frankie. Your message was good last week. Thank you for that. 2 weeks ago, when we talked about music, being, if it's amoral, and we talked about that music does have morality, and that man is a triune being, and with a soul, a body, and a spirit, and a heart, a mind, and a will, and that things need to be in order with a man, but so therefore things need to be order concerning music. If we get things out of order, then it's wrong. If it stays in order, then it's right. So if we're out of order as a Christian, then we're wrong. We need to get right. And so if music is out of order, then it needs to be made right. Now, music is basically composed of three elements. All right? It is composed of melody, harmony, and rhythm. All right. Now, if you will, we already talked about, you said, what about the words? Well, the words are basically part of the melody. Okay. How many of you have ever sung in a choir or a quartet, right? There's a lead part. And oftentimes that's for a choir situation. That's the sopranos. They're singing, if you will, the melody of the song, and the words go with that. Okay. The words go with the melody. You say, well, but the harmony parts sing the words too. Yes, but the melody is what drives the song, if you will, or should drive the song. It's the main musical thought, so therefore it's also the main word thought. Okay, the words go along with the melody. All right? And so, but when you have melody, you have harmony, and you have rhythm. Now, melody, simply by definition, is an arrangement of single notes in a musically expressive succession. All right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Okay? Right? That's a melody. All right? It's an expression. It's in successive notes. They're single notes, etc. Now, I have heard that there are monks somewhere, I don't know, Tibet or somewhere, that actually can produce two sounds out of one voice. Kind of cool. I don't know how they do that, but neat. Okay, I can't do that, all right? I don't spend enough time with my hands in my sleeves going, Trying to figure that out. But they did, you know, probably took them 100 years or so. I don't know. But this morning, my children were able to get up here and sing. And that's a melody. There was a melody. And there were with it other voices. That's called harmony. Okay? So, harmony is a combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce something called a chord. Alright? Y'all, this is kind of basic music theory for you here, alright? So, that's harmony. And then rhythm is an aspect of musical composition that gives you the duration of those successive notes. Okay? In other words, you know, you could just sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You could do that. That's okay. But the person that wrote that song decided to do, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Okay? He decided to change the duration of some of the notes so that it made that particular melody. Okay? And that particular song. That particular piece of music. All right? And so those types of things are part of what music is. So when we look at the arrangement of single notes in a expressive succession, the tune of the song is the culmination of that. So in other words, what is the main tune or the main expression of that song? Okay, that's that song, right? Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope. Right? That's another song. Okay? We could, I should get a songbook. That would make it easier. Okay. God sent his son. Right? That's another tune. Okay? How many of you ever played Name That Tune? Right? You play like, try to play like a few notes and see if you can name that song. Let me do this one for you. Let's see here. La 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 la. You know that one? Yeah, heaven came down, glory filled my soul, right? La 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 la. Now most of you know the chorus of that one, right? Okay. La 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 la. Okay? That's a little different. Surely goodness and mercy, right? Okay. La la la. Nope, that's the wrong one. Okay. La 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 la. Right? Okay. So you have different songs, different things. These are the tunes. Okay. They're the expression of that particular thought, right? Or that particular feeling, or that particular anthem or theme. And so the melody goes along with the words. Now, how many of you have, help me. I'm losing it here. What's the one that Brother Reed, he does all the different songs, because it's the same meter. There's something called meter of songs. What? Okay, yeah. The song is, the main tune or the main song is "Oh How I Love Jesus," okay? Oh how I love, right? There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth, right? You know that song, okay? Well, because of the way the words fall in the poetic form or the meter, it's called. You can put other. Lyrics with that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Right? All hail the power of Jesus' name. You understand? So in the meter, those words will fall into line with that tune. Okay? So lyrics, if you will, are part of, it makes it all music. And the melody is closely associated with the words and lyrics of the song. In other words, you don't the words are go with the, if you will, the rhythms, and it helps with that. How many of you have ever translated a song or sung a song in a different language, and then the words don't quite fit, you know, because it's for that language, the duration, you know, the half notes and the whole notes and the quarter notes and the eighth notes and all those different notes, things like that. But they work together, and that's what we're looking for. Now, harmony is a combination. Now, how many of you have heard music, and you understand that when a congregation or a group sings in unison, that means they're all singing the same tune. They're all singing the same duration. How many of you understand that that's a very powerful thing? Okay, that's a very powerful thing. And when we're arranging music and as choir leaders or musicians or things like that, we'll use that sometimes as an element. You know, especially when I sing in quartets. All right, sometimes when you get on into a song and people are enjoying the harmony, but you want to emphasize something or put a little bit of a wow factor in there, you switch to a unison for a moment. And then you break out into the harmonies. That's really a neat part of the music. You know what I'm talking about? You've heard that before? People do that? So it gives a pleasing effect. And by the way, harmony should always support and uphold the melody. All right? Now, if harmony takes over a song, then it's out of order. Because it's supposed to be about the melody. Now, Brother Kiros and Brother Losi help us with working our sound system back there. And one of the things, we've briefly discussed this, or I've just noticed, but I was a sound man for many years, and that was one of my jobs. As an assistant pastor, I was to oversee that ministry. But when I was working with a group of people, I was adjusting the people's microphones and how they were singing, the lead or the melody part was always a little bit louder. It was always emphasized over the harmonies, because the melody is supposed to take center stage, if you will. It's supposed to be what you mostly hear. Okay? If the other things drown out the melody so you can't pop in and listen and say, oh, that's the melody of that song. Okay? This is the principle of distinction. God is a distinctive God. Everybody okay with that? So if you cannot, if you have something in your life that is cannot be distinct, right? It cannot stand out, then you've got it wrong. God wants things. We're supposed to look like Christians. We're supposed to be distinct, right? Men are supposed to look like men. Women are supposed to look like women. Christians are supposed to look like Christians. Music is supposed to be melody, harmony, rhythm. Okay? So our God is a God of distinction. Melody is the tune. Melody is the focal point. Melody is the expression of that particular song. That's what it is, all right? The melody. The harmony is supposed to bring a pleasing, supportive role to the melody. Okay? And by the way, part of the problem with some harmonies that people come with is they draw attention to themselves. Now, let me just tell you from personal experience. It is so easy for a first tenor diva to steal the show. You say, how do you know? I am one. Okay? And by the way, you can apply that to a bass. You can apply it to a baritone. Not so much, but sometimes. But, you know, what's the draw? Look at me. Look at me. And guess what? That's not how it's supposed to be. The melody is supposed to be supreme. The melody is what's supposed to stand out, not the harmonies. The harmonies are supposed to support. and uphold the melody. The harmonies are supposed to make full the sound of the melody. Okay, that, remember I mentioned that word called chords. All right, so there's things called chords. You have a what's called a tonic note, and then you have other notes that support it. Okay, so you have major chords, you have minor chords, you have all different kinds of chords. And by the way, we're going to get into some of these things as we go down the road here. But you have you have something called chord progressions. All right, so you have an order of chords. I have a few minutes. All right. So here's a note, right? And then here's a chord. All right. So that works together. You have a chord progression. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My limited elementary piano knowledge, okay? Now, if you will, that was pretty straightforward, right? Okay? And so there are progressions of things, and all of that has to do with things being in order. The principle is, not only is God a God of distinction, but God is a God of order. Okay? Melody is melody, harmony is harmony, and by the way, rhythm is rhythm. Rhythm is the aspect of music or composition that is concerned with the accent and duration of the notes. Now, rhythm is a framework upon which the melody and the harmony are hung. Okay? So please understand this. In modern music today, rhythm rules. The song is all about the rhythm. And in certain types of music or genres of music, not only does the rhythm rule, but then the harmony is what people are listening for. And the melody is kind of just left in the dust. It's left behind. And so please understand that things have to be in order. Without rhythm, right, there wouldn't be any kind of songs, if you will. They'd all be the same. You know, just da 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 da. I mean, that's what it would be like, right? And without a progression of notes, it'd be you guys tired of that yet? Okay? Right? And that would be an issue. So that you do have to have different, if you will, durations of notes and things like that. So nobody, and by the way, if any Baptist preacher says that rhythm is bad, they're not right. Rhythm is not bad. Harmony is not bad. What is? When they get out of order. Okay? When the wrong element is in control, you get wrong music. By the way, in our personal lives, if the body and the flesh are in control, you're in the wrong order. And you need to get it right. So, rhythm is simply a framework. So the musical elements must coincide, if you will, with the three parts of man. So, God, Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, man, right? What man is, let me go back to it here. The soul, the spirit, the soul and the body, the mind, the heart and the will, right? We talked about that. Okay. So, melody is the mind. Melody is the essence of the song, right? The harmony is the heart. It's the, if you will, emotion behind it. By the way, most of the music today is ruled by emotion. How it makes you feel. Alright? And then, by the way, the rhythm is, if you will, the will of man. And that's, of course, needs to be in control. You need to have, if you will, a will, but it needs to be submitted to God's will, right? And so, please understand that. Music, like anything else, must be properly ordered. Paul said, let all things be done decently in order. Now you said, well, he's just talking about the church. I told you, God doesn't change. So if God wants the church to be ordered, like in our text, they were putting back to order the house of God, but they also were putting in order the music too. Okay, so you see how God cares about these things, and he wants it done right. Now, go over to Romans chapter 10, if you would please. Romans chapter 10. You are listening extremely well, and I appreciate that. We are doing quite well. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 2. Paul says about Israel, he says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Okay, so what was wrong? These people came up with their own ideas of things instead of patterning themselves about God's things. Okay, so we talked about this morning about repentance. You understand that when John the Baptist was talking to the Pharisees, he was telling them, you're not following God. You need to repent. You need to turn from that and follow the right paths. Well, the same is true about every area of our life concerning God, including music. Right? So, the order is important because the message is important. God gave us his word, so words are important. Any music that changes or takes away from the message, the words, and the melody is not properly ordered. Okay? That's a final word on the matter, if you will. Okay? So when you think about it, what is the whole intent of music, everyone? To worship God. Okay? That's the whole intent of music. It's not to make you feel good. It's not to so that you can feel like you're worshiping God. It's not to make you happy. It's not to make you sad. It's not to make you comfortable. It's not to make you afraid. That is not what music is for. Now, can music be used for all those things? Yes, it can. But that wouldn't be the proper use of music. I want you to think about this, and I don't know how many preachers actually talk about this, but do you understand that you can play music to soothe your troubled spirit? Okay? You say, how do you know that? Well, Saul and David. Now, let me ask you a question. In that story or account, who was the one that was troubled? Why was he troubled? He disobeyed God, and God did what? He sent a spirit to trouble him. Who asked for that to be relieved? Saul, right? And his counselors, because they saw their king was troubled. And so they chose someone that could play skillfully to be able to relieve the troubled spirit. Let me just ask you a simple question. Is that what God wanted? Who's ever thought about that? Now, by the way, David played good. It was the right music. But was it being used to worship God? No, it was being used to cure Saul's troubled soul, which I'm going to say God didn't want cured. God sent that spirit to trouble Saul because he was under punishment. You see what I'm saying? So you've got to realize, so music's not for you. We've got to keep in mind the proper intent of music when considering music. Now, by the way, If we serve God and He blesses us, that does benefit us, right? But is that the reason or motive that we do it? No. Right? We serve God to serve God, and if we get blessed, yay. So if we worship God with music, and it also makes us feel good and blesses us, then that's okay. Because it's not the motive. The motive is the intent of the music. So we've got to realize, we've got to keep things in the right order. And what they're for. Because guess what? If we misuse what God has given to us to use, we are unfaithful stewards. And God is a musical being. He's made us musical beings. And if we use music for our benefit, that's not what it's for. If you think about it, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody, singing and making melody in your hearts to the, what does it say? To each other? No, to the, oh. But yet we get to experience the byproducts of it. So, yes, music does uplift our spirits, but we're not singing it to uplift our spirits. We're singing it to God to lift Him up, and therefore we're lifted up. Do you see how that all goes together? Because it's the right kind of music in the right kind of order for the right intent and purpose. And that's what God wants us to realize. Now, God has a proper order to music. We're gonna stop here with this. Just five quick verses. Go to Galatians 5:16. The faster you turn, the faster we'll get to the Lord's Supper. Okay, Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Properly ordered music. All right? He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Okay, so what do we say is paramount? The melody. Okay, so we've got to have the right things, the right thing. And it's got to be in the proper order. And if it's not in the proper order, we cannot fulfill the things that we should. Okay, go over to Psalm 19. All right, Psalm 19. And look at verse 14. Psalm 19 and verse 14. David says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Okay, so the words that we sing, which are associated with the properly ordered spirit or melody of the song, these need to be in the proper order. Okay? These need to take precedence in the song. All right? How about the tone of voice? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 10. By the way, does the sound of the harmony give emotion or feeling to the song? Yes, it does, okay? So look at 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 10. It says, Then David said to Jonathan, "Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly?" Okay? We can also talk about another thing. When it talks about the woman in Proverbs, her mouth is smoother than oil, right? There's a sensuality sometimes to the sound of a song. There's a roughness sometimes to the sound of a song. There are different ways that songs can sound. Just like there are different tones to our words, right? Yeah. Husbands, don't be afraid right now. It's okay. You're in a safe place. Because it doesn't matter always what you say, but how you say it. I'm not making fun of you ladies. It's okay. I'm just trying to understand. Thank you. That's a perfect laugh. I love that. Isaac, you're wonderful. Okay. All right. These things are important. Okay? Now, there's a few more, but I'm going to stop here. As we look to what matters in music, music is there for the worship of our God. Now, can we enjoy music? Yes, we can. Because guess what? You think God wants us to enjoy worshiping Him? You think God wants us to feel good about worshiping God? Absolutely. But it's not about you. It's about Him. And we've got to keep that in the first priority. Melody, which includes words, the emotional support, the harmony, and then the order of it that holds it all together, the rhythm. Okay? And so we're gonna use those things as we move forward to construct the proper kinds of music to be used for the proper thing, and that's the worship of our God.